We're going to go right into the Bible study today. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Let's begin reading with verse 19. After we read, we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll dive right into the study. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Now, we're going to be talking, and pay attention to this as you read, we're going to be talking today about the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God, which is totally different than our righteousness, totally different than the righteousness of the law. Verse 19. Now, we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall there no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath sent forth to be a propitiation, I'll tell you what it means, through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. We establish the law. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to help us with this study and this service this morning. We'd appreciate it. Amen. Amen. So several times in this passage you'll see him say his righteousness like he did in verse 25, or his righteousness like he did in verse 26, or he'll say in verse 21, the righteousness of God, or in verse 22, the righteousness of God. Notice, it's not your righteousness, but the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God, his righteousness. And to have His righteousness is something that comes to you, according to the text, by the faith of Jesus Christ, without the deeds of the law. Now, can you imagine what that would be like for a Jew? For a Jew that pride themselves on the law, the Old Testament says that when God gave Israel that law, the Ten Commandments, and those other ordinances that went with the Ten Commandments, it set them apart from every nation in the world. When He delivered them from Egypt by the miracles, it set them apart from any nation in the world. So that would have a tendency to make you feel very proud of the fact that God chose you, Israel, or a Jew, as His people. When they got to the promised land, He said, now listen, guys, He said, I don't want you to get the idea that I drove out these other nations because of your righteousness. I drove them out for me and because of their wickedness, because you can be just like them. Well, with all that history of Israel, can you imagine then what it would be like for a Jew to admit that he is not righteous, that he's not righteous under the law, and that in order for him to be saved or to be righteous, he would have to turn to Jesus Christ, whom they delivered to Pilate for death. Can you understand how the dilemma, how difficult this is? It's difficult enough for Gentiles, but for Jews, very, very difficult. So what Paul does in this passage is that he demonstrates that the righteousness of God cannot be attained through the deeds of the law. It is only available as a free gift. And therefore, because it's a free gift, it's available to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Which is another reproach to Gentiles, because they don't, I mean to Jews, because they don't want to share any of this with Gentiles. Rightly so, they don't want to share their land with the Palestinians, and they surely don't want to share God with you. Not their understanding of God. So Paul really, really deals with a very difficult subject in this passage, but he deals with it very simply. And he says, first of all, in verses 19 and 20, that the righteousness of God cannot be attained by the law for four reasons. He says in verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Well, presumably that's Jews, but the law is given really to judge everybody. So we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law. Watch it. That every mouth may be stopped. That every mouth may be stopped. The righteousness of God cannot be attained by the law, because the law was given to stop your mouth. If you've ever done any personal work with people and tried to talk to them about the Lord Jesus Christ, you know the one thing that gets in the way of them getting saved? They won't stop talking. And when I say they won't stop talking, I mean they have an answer or a justification for themselves that is contrary to what God says about them. If you say, well, the Bible says you've sinned, they say, yeah, well, everybody has. And that statement means, therefore, I am no different than anybody else, and therefore I should be judged mercifully by God. You say, well, all have sinned, and they say, yeah, but I've never killed anybody. It's always an answer to justify. Well, let me show you what happens here. Here's the classic example. Turn to Job chapter 40 and look at verse 1. Have you ever read the book of Job? So for a bunch of chapters, for 31 chapters, Job's three friends are trying to convince him that he is in trouble. Job chapter 40 is where you're going. He's in trouble because he's wicked. And he, every time he answers, and he answers a lot, he says, no, I'm not, you are. And finally he says, you know what? My righteousness is better than God's. All right, well, that's what comes out of the mouth. Now watch what happens in Job chapter 40. By this time, the Lord has shown up in a whirlwind, and He has talked for two straight chapters. And now, the Bible says in Job chapter 40, verse 1, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he, talking about Job, that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, okay, now here he goes. Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. You know what happened? He stopped talking. You know what happened? He saw the righteousness of God. He compared it to his own righteousness. And he said, compared to the righteousness of God, I am vile. Now, listen, Job was a man who made a covenant with his eyes, and he said, why then should I think upon a maid? He was so good in his own righteousness, the Lord said that he eschewed evil. The Lord said that he was a perfect man. The Lord said that he had integrity. And yet, with all of those good qualities, Job said, I am vile, and I'm not going to say anything. You know what happened? His mouth stopped. And that's what the law is there. It's to stop a man, to keep him from justifying himself. You're in Job. Turn to Job chapter 9 and look at verse 20. Job chapter 9 and verse 20. Job said this, and he was right. If I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall also prove me perverse. If that's the case, then what do? Don't say anything. Because if it's going to condemn you and prove you perverse, the thing to do is keep quiet. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is considered wise. And so the law is there to stop the excuses, to stop the self-justification. Here's the second thing. Go back to Romans chapter 3. The law cannot justify you. The righteousness of God cannot be attained by the law because the law is not there for that. It's there to stop your mouth. It's also there because by the law all become guilty. Look again in verse 19. That every mouth may be stopped. Watch it. And how much of the world? All the world may become guilty before God. How is that possible? Well, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look at verse 22. At the end, there's no difference. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, it doesn't make any difference. Everybody's sinned and everybody's guilty before God. Why? Verse 9, same chapter, Romans chapter 3, look at verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? The question is, are Jews better than Gentiles? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, watch it, that they are all under sin. You know, whenever we've done prison ministries before, jail ministries before, the trouble is convincing a guy that he is guilty. Now, generally speaking, in the jail, it's easier than it is when they're not in jail because they're in jail. They have a sentence against them. But the funny thing is, and we watched this over and over again in the county jail in Beeville because we were going there every week. A guy would walk in and the first thing, they'd put the orange uniform on him and he'd walk inside and then you know what he'd say? No, I didn't do it. They all said the same thing. I didn't do it. No, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. It was my friends, blah, blah, blah. And by the time that, they'd had their verdict rendered against them by the judge, well, then it was out and the cat was out of the bag and all of them were guilty. So the best thing to do when you are confronted with the law is to agree with the law that you are guilty because that's what it's there for. In other words, when a person uses the law and as a standard of righteousness and said, see, I'm righteousness because I haven't committed adultery, he's not using the law properly because the law says, everybody's guilty. And he looks at all that and he should say, you know what, I may not have done that one, but I've done these three. I was refreshed the other day when I heard a preacher say, you know what, I think it was Brother Tillman, he said, I broke all 10, man. You know, at least he was honest, right? Here's the other reason why the righteousness of God cannot be attained by the law. Because by the law, watch it, no flesh is justified. Romans chapter 3, where you are, look at verse 20. Verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law, there shall, how much flesh? No flesh be justified in his sight. Now, Paul is telling you something that they already knew from the Old Testament. Turn to Psalm 143. In other words, Paul is not introducing a new concept in the New Testament. He is repeating something from the Old Testament to let them know you guys already knew this. David is the one that wrote this. David is a man after God's own heart. If David is a man after God's own heart, at least he is presumably high quality. Look what he says in Psalm 143. Verse 2. Enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. You see it? In the sight of God, nobody can be justified. And the law is there to show you that no flesh is justified in his sight. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Paul has been writing to the Galatians. And in verse 15 of Galatians chapter 2, he says, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, we know something. We know something. What do we know? Verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. A man is not justified by the works of the law. But by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall, how many flesh? No flesh be justified. So it can't, the law cannot impart righteousness, the righteousness of God to you, because it wasn't written for that. It was written to show you that you can't be justified with God. And then finally this, the righteousness of God cannot be attained by the law, because by the law, listen, sin is made known. That's what it's there for. Sin is made known. Romans chapter 3, look at verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Watch it. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. In other words, it is the law that then points out to you where you are out of line. When you go to the doctor and you go for an annual physical, if you do that, and you go for an annual physical, you're hoping that everything's going to come out right. But truly, listen, truly, if there is something wrong with you, you want him to find it as early as he can so he can fix it as early as he can. Now, a lot of us, and I was the same way when I was younger, I don't want to go to the doctor. Why? I don't want to find out that there's something wrong with me. But the law is there to show you there's something wrong with you. Why? So you'll find a solution for the problem as early as possible. Look in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and look at verse 7. Romans 7, 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, watch it. I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, you know, when you were a child, the same thing happened. Your mother said to you, now, you don't, listen, I got to go to the store. I'll be gone for a little while. There's ice cream sandwiches in the freezer, but you don't get one till after supper. And for the 2 hours that she's gone, all you can think about is that ice cream sandwich in the freezer or now in your belly if you couldn't, you know, because she said you can't have it. That's what suddenly made that the most desirable object in the entire universe. Same thing with the law. It just shows you, hey, there's something in there, because as soon as I tell you you can't, then boom, there it is. So that's what the law is for. It is to stop our mouths, to make us all guilty before God, to show that no flesh can be justified in his sight, and to make sin known to us. So for a Jew to say, I'm going to keep the law and then be judged by God according to the law, he's saying, forget that, dude. That will not work. The law was never given to justify a man with the righteousness of God. So if the righteousness of God cannot be attained by the law, that leaves another option. This only other option, really, the righteousness of God, listen, is only attained by the faith of Jesus Christ. Why is that? Well, he shows us in the next couple of verses. The righteousness of God is only attained by the faith of Jesus Christ because, first of all, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested in the gospel. Look at verse 21. But now, in other words, back then, no, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. How was it manifested? Well, it was manifested in the gospel. Show you what I'm talking about. Look back here in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And look at verse 16. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, I am not ashamed, watch it, of the gospel of Christ, for it, that is the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, not to everyone that keeps the law, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein, that is in the gospel, watch it, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that is it written, the just shall live by faith. So the righteousness of God without the law is manifested in the gospel of Jesus Christ. All right, let me ask you something. When Jesus Christ was here on the earth, and he was dealing with the problems in Israel, and he was manifested by his baptism to Israel, who did he minister to? Did he minister to the Pharisees as a group? Or did he minister to the downtrodden, to the sinners, those sick with sin? Who did he minister to? He ministered to the sinners. Why? Because he said, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now the Pharisees thought they were righteous, and the Lord showed them that they weren't righteous. But there were all kind of incidences. A woman came to him caught in the very act of adultery. And the Pharisees said, Moses and the law said we should stone her. What do you say? Well, they set it up as a trap for Jesus to see if he would contradict the law. He said, well, all right, let's do it this way. You that are without sin, let him first cast a stone at her. Well, from the eldest to the youngest, they all left. And why did they leave? Because they weren't righteous. So what did he say? Where are your accusers? And she said, well, they've all left. And he said, well, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. And she left. She wasn't righteous, but what spared her was the mercy of God, not the justice of the law. Look in Romans chapter 10, at verse 3. Romans chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. This is Israel. They being ignorant of God's righteousness, and that's what we're talking about today, the righteousness of God. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. In other words, when Jesus Christ came and they looked at his life, they said, now there's a perfect man. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man at all. And nobody could convince Jesus Christ of sin. So they see perfection according to the law in Jesus Christ, and then he dies and then he rises from the dead, showing that the law couldn't hold him and neither could death. And he's saying, now there is the righteousness of God. That Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So the law then, or excuse me, the gospel then is not something that you do. The gospel is something that you believe. Look in Romans chapter 9. The gospel is not something that you do. The gospel is something that you believe. Romans chapter 9, look at verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. You know what's wrong with religious people today? Same thing that was wrong with Israel back then. You know what the problem is? I have to do something in order to make myself acceptable to God. There's the law, so I will say that I'm keeping that. That's how it works. And that's what gets you in trouble. He said, it's not that. The gospel is what manifests the righteousness of God. That is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And see, the difficulty for somebody who's trying to do righteousness is Jesus Christ already took care of that for you. That's already done. It doesn't make any difference how much integrity you have. It doesn't make any difference how much character you have. It doesn't make any difference how right you are compared to everybody else on the earth. You're not as right as Jesus Christ, and you must trust something he's already done for you, not something you're doing for him. So the righteousness of God without the law is manifested in the gospel, the completed work of Jesus Christ. Secondly, the righteousness of God without the law is witnessed by the law and prophets. In other words, you can go back to the Old Testament and you can find evidence that God was telling them even back then, this won't do it, guys. You're going to have to look to somebody else. Verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Watch it, being witnessed by the law and prophets. So we're going to go to the Old Testament and you're going to see the righteousness of God is not given to a man for keeping the law. And the two classic examples are Abraham and David. Did David keep the law? What's one outstanding law that you know he broke? Adultery. Committed adultery with Bathsheba. She was married to Uriah the Hittite. And what's another law that he broke? Murder. Thou shalt not kill. Because he had Uriah, her husband, killed when he found out that she was pregnant with his child. And yet, the Bible says he's a man after my own heart. How did that happen? Well, look in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Verse 3. What saith the scripture? Abraham, what's the next word? Believed God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. In other words, he didn't do anything. He believed something. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. That is, if you work for me, I owe you money. That's how it goes. You work, there's a debt, there's an obligation. But, verse 5, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. That word imputeth might not be a word that's familiar to you. It means he accounts the righteousness to him. God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And he does it by faith. He does it by faith. So the two outstanding Old Testament examples of a man being declared righteous before God by faith are Abraham, the whole father of Israel, and David, their supreme king. Do you understand the covenants that were made with Abraham are what allow Israel to be considered the chosen people and to have the land grant they do? And the covenant made with David shows that their king, who is now Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is going to be the supreme ruler of the world. Those two guys, and you know how they got the righteousness of God? By faith, not by the works of the law. That's witnessed in the Old Testament. Let's look at a couple of places. Isaiah 53. I have several scriptures marked here. We'll look at two. Isaiah 53. Now, Old Testament. So if you're a Jew and you're reading the Old Testament and you hit Isaiah 53, this will settle it for you that you're not going to be able to do this for yourself by the works of the law. That is, get the righteousness of God. Isaiah 53, look at verse 4. Surely he hath borne whose griefs? Ours. And carried whose sorrows? Our. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for whose transgressions? Ours. He was bruised for whose iniquities? The chastisement of whose peace was upon him? Ours. And with his stripes, whose healed? We are. Look at verse 10. Same chapter. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. How do you take a dead man and give him offspring? It says he shall see his seed. How does he see his seed if he's dying? There's only one way. He rises from the dead and his seed become his offspring by the new birth. You must be born again. He shall prolong his days and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant, what's the next word? Justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. You know how we're justified? By his righteousness. Something he did for us. It's witnessed by the law and the prophets. One more place, Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Look at verse 30. Psalm 22 and look at verse 30. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare whose righteousness? his righteousness unto a people that shall be what? What's the next word? Born. That he hath done this. You know what Psalm 22 is about? Look at verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? What's Psalm 22 about? The crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how does it end? A seed shall serve him and be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born that he hath done this. Those prophecies concerning the righteousness of God by faith are witnessed in the Old Testament with the law and the prophets in David, in Abraham, and in Psalm 22, and Isaiah 53, and numbers of other passages that we won't take the time to look at. I'm seeing some from college come this way. What time is it? Quarter till, okay. So we got 5 minutes to finish the rest of the chapter? I don't think we're going to do that. Look at verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. In other words, the righteousness of God is without the law, because the righteousness of God is by faith of Jesus Christ, and it's given to all those who believe. Let me show you something Jesus Christ said while he was here on the earth. Look in John chapter 6. It's an amazing statement. In John chapter 6, look at verse 28. John chapter 6 and look at verse 28. These folks came to him after the feeding of the 5,000. They wanted to know how they could work to get righteousness. And here's what they asked. John chapter 6 verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. There you go. Even when Jesus Christ was here, he said, you can't work to get this. You got to believe it. You got to believe it. The righteousness by faith of Jesus Christ is given to all those who believe. Now, simply look at this. Verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've covered that in the prior verses. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, notice first of all, verse 24, he becomes your justifier. Being justified freely by his grace, he becomes your justifier. What does that mean? You know what that means? It means when you come to Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior, right then, right there, right on the spot, he declares you not guilty. He's your justifier. Secondly, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, he becomes your redeemer. What does that mean? Well, we're going to talk about that more in the next service, so I don't have to elaborate now. It simply means he paid a price to buy you back out of bondage. And the price that he paid was his own shed blood. He becomes your redeemer, and not only that, he becomes the propitiation for our sins. You say, whoa, what is that? It's an easy word. It's just big. I mean, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious, that's a big word. Yeah, it's simple. All right, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. What is a propitiation? A propitiation is a sacrifice that appeases the God. The key word is appease. God's wrath is against sin. When Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood, he said, I'm satisfied. That's what you read in Isaiah 53. He shall be satisfied when he sees it. He shall be satisfied. That's the propitiation. God was appeased. Through what? Faith in his blood. Faith in his blood. It's the shed blood of Jesus Christ that did it. You know what that means? If God is satisfied by the shedding of blood, if you shed your own blood for your righteousness, you die. He shed his blood for your righteousness and rose again, meaning that if you trust him, that he is now the propitiation for our sins, you can look to Jesus Christ when you stand before God and say, I'm not here on my own righteousness. I'm here on his. That gets you through. And then when you believe in Jesus Christ for the righteousness of God, you are justified. Verse 26, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth. Where's boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Listen, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm not here because of something I did, I'm here because of something he did. You can't boast. Therefore, we conclude, verse 28, a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision, that's Jews, by faith, and the uncircumcision, that's Gentiles, through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. We establish the law. By what? Because the law is the, we establish the law because it's the law that told you, hey, dummy, you need him. Galatians chapter 3 says the law was our schoolmaster to point us to Christ. So we established the law, and that's how you're justified by faith. So we got through it. What do you know? Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to study this lesson today. We ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, help us to understand these words as we study. Help us to remember them as we go from here, for Jesus' sake. Amen.